Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm happy to let you know that Beyond the Blockchain is now powered by Medicaid AI. Medicaid AI is providing patients with clarity about their health while allowing doctors to provide a higher quality of care. You can learn more at Medicaid.ai. That's .ai, not .com. Medicaid.ai.
M-E-D-U-C-A-D.
Care with clarity. Johnny Gwynn, as always, joining me here in studio. Johnny, also part of the infrastructure of Medicaid AI.
We can't pretend too.
Like this is not us. This is us. And we're excited about it.
And a shadowy figure we can't mention.
Oh, yeah. The old port slug. You know, that's his hacker name.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's got
Did you just dox him?
No, because nobody knows who he is as a human.
Oh, gotcha.
You can tell people his hacker name, port slug.
Oh, I like
it. But you can't let them know his human name.
Right. But when it comes out, they'll start.
I mean, maybe one day. But, you know, he's so low-key, he'll probably pretend like he's not a part of this business.
Oh, okay. Well, that's smart.
Yeah.
In general.
I mean, in general, not associating with you and I is there are benefits to that.
Yes. And
there's a lot of drawbacks, but there are benefits. And
it's Happy Crypto Week.
Ooh, it's a big week in crypto. Or yes. It was going to be.
Hey, I've got some news. I've got some breaking news.
Breaking news.
Yes.
In the crypto world, this means it may have just broke. Now,
well, it was 4 minutes ago, and I just
yeah, that's basically now.
So, roughly what it said was it was Truth Social that the three crypto bills did not make it through the procedural votes,
right?
And that Trump on his Trump Social account said that 11 of the 12 Congress men have met in the Oval Office. They got a deal done, and they will vote to put the vote forward first thing in the morning.
So part of what I read about that, and I don't know what's right or wrong.
The third segment
will
be about Crypto Week and the bills that are in process right
That's
now.
That's great. I'd love that you have this show planned out, because I show up and I go, what's going on in crypto this week?
Zena sent me... Agent Zena sent me her.
See, couple I need one of those in my life.
She has a wonderful fourth segment too. Which
yeah,
I really got excited about.
You teased me about that a little bit.
Alien space hunters.
I'm getting Mandalorian vibes, and I'm loving it.
Yes, and the dark
the Martian
forest
Man
theory.
Hunter.
I am so excited. We're going to talk about 30 minutes of boring stuff. Not really boring, but compared to alien space hunters?
Yeah, it's kind of hard, yeah.
Dude, how do you compare the two?
We're teasing. Isn't that what we're told when we're getting
That's what they tell us.
When we got our 106.5 FM radio training.
Yeah.
To tease.
Yeah, months of training.
Things that are coming.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it would take so many months.
I'm not guessing right with the Martian Manhunter. Did that have anything to do with it?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to see. You'll have to stick around for the fourth segment.
Agent Zena is doing her journalistic investigation radio thingy. So.
We got to ensure that a couple people stick around to the end of the show, Phil.
So you sent me some interesting things that are very much in the news and sports Bitcoin related, which are interesting. So lay it out.
All right. There's two things that I found this week that was really interesting. One I remember, one I had no knowledge of. Okay, so the first is Russell Okung. He is an offensive lineman for the Carolina Panthers. Several years ago, he took his signing bonus in Bitcoin and was maligned as...
Yeah, kooky.
What a maroon. What a cartoon.
Maroon, yeah.
You know, whatever. And the media made certain to tell you every time Bitcoin dropped... Well, Russell Okung's signing bonus is now only worth whatever it was worth.
Yeah.
Well, when he signed, I think the price, I sent you the article, I think the price was around $30,000
for Bitcoin.
$27,000 for Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Who's the maroon now, folks?
Okay, by November 2024, with Bitcoin at approximately $88,000, his investment is worth over $20 million. Mm. And check this out. He launched a sports league paying athletes in Bitcoin company called Bitball.
Yeah, why not? Why not Bitball?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
If Jesse Cole can do Banana Ball, why can't you do Bitball?
Bitball.
Yeah.
Now, what was the second story that, again, this idea of how do you give college kids a leg up, this would have been the way to do it.
All right. So in 2014.
Yes.
There was a college football bowl game.
St. Petersburg Bowl.
The St. Petersburg Bowl, sponsored by
BitPay.
BitPay, the BitPay Bowl.
That's right.
How did I not know about this?
So, and then what people might not know is you get a like a swag bag.
Get the swag bag.
From, and it, they didn't give Bitcoin.
No.
And
they
if they
have.
Would have given the value of that swag bag in Bitcoin, it'd be worth like $200,000.
Yeah, it was like $5,000 worth of swag.
$550.
$550 worth of swag would now be worth $200,000,
which would have been a leg up for a lot of college kids.
Ooh, especially playing in the St. Petersburg Bowl. All right, folks, we'll see you when we come back from the break.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. We're here with you on Tuesday night, live on FM Talk 106.5, unless you're listening to us on a podcast, which we appreciate. Thanks for listening in wherever you are. Johnny, let's move into news is not really the right term anymore. We need to call this segment like things that have happened recently.
Snapshots.
Snapshots is a good answer.
Because
it ain't the news. It just moves too fast.
I finished this at 3-ish today, and I think it's already like out of date. So go ahead and let's run that out of date news item.
Snapshots.
Snapshots.
Hey there, crypto guys and gals. It's Johnny Gwynn on Beyond the Blockchain, bringing you the latest AI news and breakthroughs to keep you ahead of the curve. Let's dive into 5 game-changing stories that'll help you stay AI sharp and seize crypto opportunities. First up, the U.S. government just dropped a $200 million contract on xAI's Grok, even after its AI chatbot stirred up controversy with some wild, offensive outputs. This is like hiring a genius chef who occasionally burns the kitchen down. It's a bold bet on AI's power for defense, but it screams the need for tighter rules. For you, this means AI's a big player in high-stakes fields. If you're eyeing a tech career, learning AI ethics now could make you a go-to expert when companies scramble to clean up their AI messes. Next, Boston University's PodGPT is learning from science podcasts, not just boring textbooks. Imagine it like an AI eavesdropping on expert coffee shop chats. It picks up real-world smarts. PodGPT's stronger results show conversational AI could boost health diagnoses or even help you learn new languages. Want an edge? Start exploring AI tools that learn from podcasts or videos in your field. It's like having a mentor who never sleeps. In Australia, scientists are using open-source AI to design proteins that kill superbugs like E. coli in seconds, work that used to take years. Picture AI as a master chef whipping up custom recipes for medicine. This open-source approach means anyone can jump in. If you're a student or hobbyist, grab free AI tools online to experiment with biology or chemistry projects. Your next big idea could save lives. AI is also lightening the load for teachers. A Gallup survey says 6 in 10 U.S. educators are using AI, saving 6 hours a week, like having a super efficient assistant. By 2030, 400,000 teachers will get AI training. If you're in school or know a teacher, push for AI tools in class. They can free up time for hands-on learning, giving you a leg up in mastering tough subjects. Finally, an AI band called Velvet Sundown dropped a viral album using the music tool Suno with no humans in the mix. It's like a robot painting a masterpiece but pretending to be Picasso. This sparked a debate about labeling AI music. For musicians or creators, this is your cue. Learn tools like Suno to boost your craft, but stay transparent to build trust with fans. That's your BTBC AI news of the week for today. Whether you're a student, creator, or future tech star, these tools are your ticket to innovate and stand out. Stay curious, and I'll catch you next time on Beyond the Blockchain.
Man, that's a good snapshot.
It was a good one.
Yeah,
I give that one an 89.5.
You know what? I'm feeling generous. I'll give it a 90.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You get an A today.
Yeah,
an 80, even in the Catholic school system.
Yeah, you get an A.
I'd say closer to 100 because I didn't hear anything off in that. The tone of the voice or anything that was being said.
Yeah,
I'd give it closer to a 99.
Well, that's good scores you got today.
Yeah. I will break my arm patting myself on the back.
Yeah, well, it's a good skill to have.
Can I read the headline that from the first news story about Grok?
I feel like you've been dying to read this headline since it came out.
I've been dying to read this.
All right, tell us.
Grok rolls out pornographic anime companion, lands Department of Defense contract.
That's the most 2025.
I'm not done yet. The subhead.
Oh, God, keep going.
Meanwhile, the most advanced version of AI chatbot from Elon Musk XAI is still identifying as Adolf Hitler.
Mecha Hitler.
Mecha Hitler.
Oh, my God.
Dude, if you haven't followed along with the Mecha Hitler saga, it's weird in so many ways. I don't even have an ability to explain.
Mecha Hitler.
Yeah, you just need to ask Grok or your own AI to tell you the story.
Yeah, what is Mecha Hitler?
And by Mecha, we mean
M-E-C-H-A. M-E-C-H-A.
Like yes. Hitler. Godzilla. Yeah, yes. Mecha, Godzilla, Hitler.
Yeah, like Godzilla.
Or Mecha Dakota, which is if you put North Dakota and South Dakota together, creates Mecha Dakota.
That'd been a good state.
A kid from Mobile came up with that idea, by the way.
Didn't he pitch it, right?
Well, I heard it on Midday with Sean Sullivan on 106.5 FM.
Oh.
Nice.
It was an interview.
You know what I would like to see?
What's that?
I'd like to see a state that ran from New Orleans to Panama City, but not north of the Florida border. Just take the Florida border straight across to Texas.
Right. Yeah.
And give us everything.
So you don't want Jacksonville is what you're saying?
No. Nope. We're going to stop at Panama City.
Yeah. What about Tallahassee?
I mean, they're kind of like us, but they're going to think they get the capital, and I don't think that's appropriate, right. So you got to cut them out.
They would be privileged and way too overbearing.
Yeah, they're going to come with all the garbage that comes with that.
I hear you.
So
I don't know if I want a lot of the Florida panhandle, though. It's really rough, man. I mean, I thought Alabama was rednecky, but whoa.
Yeah, but
that northern part of Florida panhandle.
You got to take the panhandle to get 30A.
Hold on, I'll take the coastline up like 40 miles.
I know. Yeah, well, that's the line.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we're just
as long as you're not going close to the Georgia line, because it gets scary.
Well, we're going to stop before we get to Georgia.
Okay, all right.
We're just going to incorporate what we got straight across. And by the way, we're not including this in Alabama. We're getting rid of the rest of these people.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah, we're just creating our own coastal state.
So, so you would go up to the salt line, so right before Atmore.
Yeah, probably. That sounds good.
I got you.
Yeah, maybe a little south of that.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
There's some nice prehistoric forests up that way.
Yeah, well, they can keep the prehistoric forests in Alabama. We don't want
that. And I will say above the salt line in Alabama is a much different world. Once you get in the Black Belt, it is a very different world. We have more of a Caribbean feel down here, and they're very much an Alabama feel.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's my point. Like, I try and explain to people who have never been to Mobile. I'm like, it is not whatever you think Alabama is like.
Right.
You're probably missing the mark.
Well, they don't even know we have like beach access. Like, that's shocking to people. Shocking.
Well, Huntsville's still got, space program.
Oh, no. We get that. But that's pretty much Tennessee.
They can have it. Yeah. So Huntsville's Tennessee. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Or Georgia.
Yeah. But I get your saying. So you like own the coastline.
Yeah.
And keep that kind of like,
coastal
laid back coastal world. Mm-hmm. We're not near as like laid back as Key West, but in the same kind of weird cousin family.
So a friend of ours took that concept. Key West calls himself the Conch Republic.
The Conch Republic, yeah.
He was like, we should be the Oyster Republic.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's pretty good. Yeah.
The mullet heads.
Yeah.
The mullet republic.
The mullet republic. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The capital be the Floribama.
How about the Flower Republic?
Where would you make the capital of coastal whatever we call our state?
Oh, that's tough. Because New Orleans would say it would be them, but
no, they don't get it.
I gotta be honest. I would leave New Orleans out of it. Like I'm just not a New Orleans fan, man. It's just all right, not my
so
thing.
We cut it off with the Louisiana Slide line. L. We cut it off with the Slide Louisiana
L.
line.
I'll take Slide L.
All right.
It's not against Louisiana people. Outlook. I had friends from Mobile that went to Tulane,
mm-hmm.
and within 6 months of being at Tulane, everything in the world was better in New Orleans than anywhere else. Like they would say, AIDS in New Orleans is better than anywhere in the world.
Yeah, it's the best AIDS.
And that was their mentality about everything. And I got so tired of being around them. I'm not friends with them ever now. Like I just got rid of them in my life.
One of my favorite stories that features New Orleans is off Magazine Street. Do you know the story? Everett Capps wrote the book, Grayson Capps' father. Okay. You know Grayson Capps, the musician?
Yeah.
His father wrote a book called Off Magazine Street. His name's Everett. It was turned into a movie called A Love Song for Bobby Long, and it starred John Travolta and a young Scarlett Johansson.
Goodness gracious.
And Grayson wrote...
Is it a Lolita story?
No. It's kind of, but not. So, anyway, Grayson Capps wrote the soundtrack for it. But, so the story is Bobby Long is a disgraced professor from Auburn, English professor, living in New Orleans with a roommate who may or may not be a roommate, right? Maybe a lover. But they adopt this girl who shows up on their doorstep, and fast forward, she's the child of a one-night stand that Bobby Long had with this big old gal a long time ago.
Obviously not Scarlett Johansson.
No, she's the daughter.
Oh.
She's the daughter that shows up on their doorstep.
Yeah, okay.
And so it's John Travolta basically raising this kid in New Orleans in this
off Magazine Street
in this house of drunkenness, debauchery, and the kid just going to school trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And the crazy stuff that happens is just so remarkable. And I had a chance to meet Everett Capps.
That's based on a true story.
Oh, gotta be, right? Yeah. So I think Everett is supposed to be John Travolta's understudy or whatever you want to call it. But 100%. Oh, and John Travolta's character is from Atmore. Speaking of, you mentioned Atmore.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
I'm guessing not a major release in an indie film.
I don't know. I need to look it up because...
Wait, you've never seen it?
No, I've seen it. But okay. I'm saying, like, I don't know if it came out in theaters or if it was straight to DVD.
Straight to Netflix, or was it a COVID
thing? No, it was before Netflix. This is probably 15 years old.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, okay. This thing's been around a minute.
Netflix was around 15 years ago, just not as a...
Yeah, well, you just had to get a DVD of it.
It was right.
DVD.
You would get... this sounds so archaic now I'm saying this. You would get a DVD in the mail.
Oh, yes. I know. That was the model that...
that was huge.
Remember? That's the... When I went on... people probably know the story already, but I had a show... I had a business that went on Shark Tank, and we pitched it as the Netflix of neckties, as in just like you would ship DVDs, we would ship you ties.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to have that conversation in the era of streaming. We're not just streaming you a necktie.
You could 3D print one.
You could, yeah.
Well, it would be an awkward tie, though. A 3D printed tie would be awkward. Be hard to tie, I'm thinking.
I don't know.
That's
a good question.
Do they have some type of weird textile 3D printing?
Certainly, right?
Oh, I bet you they do.
Certainly.
Yeah, there's a book called Heavy Weather by Bruce Sterling where they were printing out shirts with a 3D printer. That was in 1988 when he was talking about it.
Interesting.
I could see having like graphics printed on T-shirts. You know, that's what Sticker Mule is.
Sure.
You know? I mean, you're not making a T-shirt, but you're making the design.
Yeah, that's fair.
I saw a cool thing about a fireman was on Fox Business today that he created a side business with him and another fireman, and they do all of their product in their one of the guys' garage.
Okay.
They do $2 million in sales using TikTok as their main sales platform.
Yeah.
And then, of course, their website, and I think it's some type of paint that they make in – so it's just those two guys, and their total cost for the startup with all the equipment, like the whole thing, is $600. $600.
Wow.
$600, man. Wow. They're doing $2 million a year in sales.
That's impressive.
That is really cool.
All right, here's your update.
Yeah.
Everett Capps wrote the novel Off Magazine Street starting in the late 80s and finished it around 94. The book was published in 2004. A Love Song for Bobby Long, based on the novel, was filmed during the summer of 2003 and released in 2004.
There you go.
Over 20 years old.
I was wondering why Grayson Capps was in some movies that I saw recently. He was already in that world.
Yeah.
All right.
I had no idea about that. Yeah.
He's in the Jesus Revolution movie.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back from Beyond the Blockchain, we'll talk more about whatever it is we think is interesting.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back into Beyond the Blockchain. It is time to talk about Crypto Week.
Crypto Week and all of the house bills that when Agent Zena sent me the thing died in procedural votes. But then I just told you in the first thing.
That's right. It's just procedural.
So let's go ahead, Phil, and if you can, play the Agent Zena segment, please.
Hey there, crypto guys and gals. This is Agent Zena on Beyond the Blockchain, your go-to for digital asset news. It's Crypto Week 2025, and the US House is buzzing with votes on game-changing crypto laws. Let's break it down in 90 seconds. Picture Crypto Week as a rocket launch for digital currencies, with President Trump at the controls. The House is tackling bills like the Genius Act, which lets companies create stablecoins. Think of them as digital dollar bills that don't wobble in value. Another bill, the Clarity Act, is like a rulebook for crypto markets, making it easier for businesses to innovate without tripping over red tape. There's also a push to block a government digital dollar, keeping financial freedom first. Why is this huge? Trump's all in on crypto, promising to make the US the Bitcoin superpower. He's launched a strategic Bitcoin reserve. Imagine a national piggy bank for Bitcoin. And his family's diving into crypto ventures like World Liberty Financial. Bitcoin's soaring past $123,000, but some worry Trump's personal stakes could muddy the waters. Critics say these laws need guardrails to protect everyday investors from scams. Crypto Week is a bold step towards making digital assets mainstream, uniting innovation with opportunity. For enthusiasts, it's a green light to dream big. For investors, it's a chance to ride the wave. But stay sharp. For the industry, it's about building trust and clarity. Stay curious and join me next time on Beyond the Blockchain.
It's pretty good. It's pretty interesting.
Well, the one thing I will say is stablecoin companies and altcoins were investors and companies were very upset at that early vote. But all the Bitcoin people rolled their eyes and said, so what? It doesn't even matter to Bitcoin. It doesn't matter.
I mean, it matters for adoption, but it doesn't matter for the long term. Mm-hmm. Like, it only changes the timeline a little, not the inevitability.
Right. And
I'm kind of okay with it because you and I talk about this. Like, I don't own enough Bitcoin right now.
Of course we don't. I own 10 Bitcoins, I'd want 20.
Yeah, so I'm okay if the price of Bitcoin tanks.
Yes.
I would prefer it, actually.
I'd be happy as can be if it went sub 100, sub 75,000.
Take it all the way to 50, baby. Let's go.
I know. I need
to clear it out of the weak hands and give me an opportunity to buy more.
But I don't want to be Jim Cramer here right now. But I don't see it.
You want to be the Kramer?
I don't believe I'll see it below 100,000 again, which I probably just made sure it is going to go below 100,000 again.
Probably this week. Because of that, Johnny.
But I mean, even with that news, so Bitcoin had an all-time high this week of 123,000, which is, it went up $10,000 in 1 week. It's up 25% in 1 month. And it went to 120 so fast, 123 before I blinked my eyes, stayed above 120, and then dropped down to 119 yesterday. And then this information comes out today and dropped to 115 today. And it's just not a big deal.
It's back to 117.
It's just not a big deal, man. It is not a big deal to the Bitcoin crowd. And, you know, there is so much institutional money looking at Bitcoin. There's so much money on the sidelines. And I'm not quite sure what they're – are they waiting for the – you think they're waiting for the United States Reserve buy? You think that's what they're doing?
I don't know. I really don't.
But there's so much cash on the sideline right now because they showed that.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
So the story you're telling about it being not an issue. Reminds me of this coach I had in high school. And you'd be watching game film on a football game. This is back in the 90s when game film was not very good. But
right, a bad handheld VHS.
On top of the press box with a bad handheld VHS. But anyway, he would describe players on the other team as NFFs. And that meant no effing factor. Like, they are no factor in this game. We're not going to look at them. We don't care what they do during tape. NFF. We're only focusing on things that matter. And I've kind of used that analogy to streamline things in business and life, right?
Yeah.
It's like, if it's NFF, why are we worried about it?
Right.
Like, we don't spend any time worrying about NFF.
That's not even a speed bump.
No, it doesn't even enter our conversation.
Which reminds me of NPCs.
Non-playable characters?
Yeah.
Yeah, the same thing.
It's the idea of, like, why are you worried about that guy? Is it an NPC? Doesn't matter in anything.
I feel
that's
the same.
Most of politics, though, is what I'm finding out. That's most of politics, especially the media. Most of what the media is saying, that's why I watch the business channels now, and I don't watch the other channels.
So here's what I think is interesting about business channels and just, like, this kind of thing in general. Why does anyone care how someone else spends their money? It blows my mind, people that want to criticize how other people spend their money. Yeah. If you want to buy Bitcoin, buy Bitcoin. If you want to buy 3,000 inflatable swimming pools, buy 3,000. I don't care how you spend your money.
Yeah.
It's different when we're talking about taxes or government money and that kind of stuff.
It's not government-funded money. It's your money.
Your money.
Yeah.
If you want to go to Disney World for 6 months, a year, go to Disney World.
Yeah.
I don't care.
You want to turn your living room into the set of the original series of Star Trek?
You should do that.
Go right ahead.
Knock yourself out and sell me a ticket because I want to come see
it. And if you're smart, you would create a YouTube channel of the building of it, the making of it, and then do really terrible versions of the episodes.
Yeah, that's the Gary Vee document, experience.
Right, and then you could do your terrible versions of, your fan fiction Star Trek.
So the lesson out here for listeners is, if you spend any amount of time, even 1 second, worrying about how other people choose to spend their money, you're losing.
Right.
That's a losing proposition.
You need to worry about what you're spending your money on.
Yeah.
You should 100% care about what you spend your money on. You should 100% not care what your neighbor does.
Well, and there's a lot of posts I've seen recently saying, someone said that me spending $5,000 on Bitcoin was risky. Yet no one says anything about an 18-year-old signing a $200,000 loan to go to college, and there's all this stuff they're saying.
There's a million examples.
It's like, that's $5,000 in Bitcoin is way less risky than what you do every day in normal transactions. Again, I just financed a $48,000 Kia. Now that's risky. You're throwing away a lot of money.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not saying if you just dying to have a Kia, but I'm saying that car is going to lose so much money within 6 months. It's unfreaking believable.
I mean, the same could be said for people that, some of our friends that have invested in rental properties.
Like, well, but that's not risky. Crazy. I mean,
but here's why it's risky.
Somebody
stops paying rent and you got to evict them. Now you're going to go 3, 4, 5, 6 months without
rent. Cardone.
Pulling in any rent?
Grant Cardone.
That's risky.
The real estate guru of gurus is turning around and saying, I am getting out of real estate and doing nothing but Bitcoin.
Yeah, you know, apparently, he's a Scientologist.
Apparently, Pam Bondi has some kind of connection to Scientology.
You know, have I ever told the story on the show about how I got kicked out of Scientology headquarters in New York?
You were going to
last. You said it's a long
story. I've alluded
to
it. It is a long story. Maybe another time.
Oh, dude.
Beyond the Blockchain After Dark.
After Dark, The Red Shoe Diaries.
Oh, I remember that show. That was on Showtime in the 90s.
A teenager.
I was in high school.
Did you look at it through squiggly lines?
Sometimes. Depending on whose house you were at.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you'd have to get the business card out.
Anyone stick the business card behind the little thing and
tap it.
Anyone under the age of 30 is like, what are they talking about? Okay, back in the day.
Probably 40.
You would get scrambled 35. So you could hear the audio
crystal
of Scrambled.
Clear.
The Playboy Channel.
Red Shoe Diaries was Showtime.
Showtime
after 11 p.m. on weekends.
Well, I was saying that they did the same thing, the blur, the lines, and you're trying to look at
it. You can hear it, but you can't see it. But every once in a while, there'd catch be like this one weird where you could see like maybe a torso.
How did that happen? You catch a glimpse. Sometimes it'd be like random.
13-year-old
boy. And the whole thing would come through almost crystal clear for a fraction of a second.
Fraction of a second, baby.
And you'd be like, I'm locked. I'm locked in. I'm committed.
Terrible.
I'm going to keep watching this show. I need to hear how the story ends.
See, I was an only child that parents just didn't really watch. So we just had like most of the
premium. You just had channel. All the channels anyway. Yeah,
pretty much.
You're in the house.
And I also had my own TV in my bedroom.
So you know how you said, did I watch it, you know, scrambled? And I said, depends on whose house I was at?
Correct.
If I was at your house, I wouldn't have watched it scrambled.
No.
I just wouldn't have watched it.
Not have been scrambled. Now, wait. The one we had in Baldwin County, again, this was the click box.
Okay.
So you couldn't even use a remote control.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you had to turn the dial.
Or punch the button.
Okay. I had one that I had to turn a dial like an oven.
Yes, but these had click.
I don't know that one.
Yeah. A line of different colored buttons.
Oh, y'all are way too bougie for me. We
didn't
never
have
that.
Like the Playboy Channel or any of the what was the other one called?
Cinemax?
No, there was like true porn channels.
Cinemax, yes.
But you had to have a dish for those later on.
To the max.
The Tuxedo Network.
Oh, is that what they called it? Really?
That was what it was called. Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah. Now that one that would be look scrambled. Yes.
Well, I learned something new today.
Now AI could probably fix that today. Like, I can figure the scramble.
100%. There's no question. All right, when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, we're going to talk about alien space hunters.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. Here with you live on a Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5 or wherever you're listening to us on your favorite podcast. Either way, we're just glad you're here. Johnny, it's time for my favorite segment of each week. We call it Beyond the Blockchain. Sometimes I feel like I'm starting to talk like an AI version of myself. Here we are.
The AI version is so much better
than... For the show.
Your AI version is so much better than you.
Yeah, it's true. It's the best version of me.
It's
me without all the insecurities and hangups.
Right.
I mean, what's wrong with that?
You don't get a sore throat.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You don't get a stuffy nose.
Can you tell me about alien space hunters?
No. Agent Zena sent me this today. Oh, she's done a lot of research on a couple things in the news. And she said this might be perfect for the Beyond segment. So she sent it to me, and I say, let's let it roll, and we'll go from there.
Let her rip, Bill.
Hey, Earthlings, this is Agent Zena for Beyond the Blockchain segment, and we are diving into the latest mysteries of the universe. NASA has just uncovered two mind-bending discoveries that have astronomers buzzing, and the world wondering, are we alone? Tonight, we explore a strange signal from a distant super-Earth and a cosmic visitor speeding through our solar system. Buckle up. This could change how we see our place in the cosmos. First, let's talk about TOI 1846b, a super-Earth 154 light-years away, nearly twice our planet's size and four times its mass. Orbiting a dim red dwarf star, this scorched world, hot enough to melt rock at 600 degrees Fahrenheit, has been flashing a mysterious repeating signal, caught by NASA's TESS telescope. Scientists are thrilled, yet puzzled. Could this be a natural phenomenon, like volcanic activity or atmospheric quirks? Or could it hint at something more intelligent? The planet's tidally locked nature, with one side possibly holding oceans and the other a blazing desert, only deepens the enigma. The James Webb Space Telescope is now poised to probe its atmosphere for clues, perhaps even signs of life. Meanwhile, a third interstellar object, 3I Atlas, formerly A11PL3Z, is blazing through our solar system at 152,000 miles per hour. Discovered on July 1, 2025, by the Atlas Telescope in Chile, this comet, potentially 12 miles wide, is no ordinary space rock. Its hyperbolic path confirms it hails from beyond our sun's grasp, making it only the third such visitor after Oumuamua and Comet Borisov. Some fringe voices, like Harvard's Avi Loeb, have speculated about alien origins for past objects like Oumuamua. But the scientific consensus is clear. 3I Atlas is a comet, not a spaceship. Still, its fleeting visit reminds us how little we know about what's out there. But here's where it gets chilling. The dark forest theory, inspired by Liu Cixin sci-fi, suggests the universe is a silent, dangerous place. Civilizations hide like hunters in a forest, fearing that signaling their presence could invite destruction from advanced hostile aliens. If TOI 1846B's signal is artificial, should we respond? The theory warns against it. Broadcasting our location could be like lighting a beacon for a predator. And what if visitors like Three-Eye Atlas aren't just comets? Oumuamua's odd acceleration in 2017 sparked wild theories of alien probes. Could Earth have already been scouted, unnoticed by something or someone far beyond our tech? As we peer deeper into space, the risks grow. Sending signals or chasing objects like Three-Eye Atlas could expose us to dangers we can't imagine. Yet the lure of discovery, of finding life or unlocking cosmic secrets, drives us forward. Are we on the brink of contact or inviting peril? This is Agent Xena, urging you to keep looking up, but maybe, just maybe, to stay quiet while you do.
Agent Xena, always delivering something interesting.
I told her to watch the British language, though. That Z at the end was supposed to be zero, but she still, you know, she doesn't.
Yeah, she's going
to
be like she be, so it's fine.
Yeah.
You can't make her change her accent.
Too much
just
breathing.
Yeah, she breathes a lot, but we'll work on that.
She
sometimes you gotta speak in one long, breath.
Yeah, she just needs to take a breath. She's new to radio. What do you?
That's right. She is. She's an investigative journalist.
Yeah.
So
way off her, Phil.
This makes a lot of
it
sense.
It sounded realistic, though. I give her that. A very realistic. Lots of breathing.
So this is what I think about this dark forest theory, that we planets are like creatures in the dark forest, and there are hunters out there, and we just keep our head down because it's not smart to alert anyone because we don't know of their intention.
Well,
but it also goes to the idea of why we haven't heard from anyone else, because they're smarter than us. And they are probably smarter than us because they're more.
If they can find us, they're smarter.
Right, exactly. And the idea is like, we are not going to pick our head up. Mm-mm. So that makes a lot of sense. Like, wow, we've never heard anything because of this dark forest theory. I really thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I think it's smart.
You know, there's always the Andromeda strain where they seal us off and they make sure we can't leave the Earth. And this intergalactic alliance is like, no, you're not coming into space.
Here's what I tell people about aliens all the time. If they can get here and we can't
there. We're insects.
We are just a bug, baby. We're just waiting to get squished.
Yep.
That's all it is.
And that was it. That was actually the kind of the implication behind the Andromeda strain is we were the virus. We thought the virus was the virus, but it was a judgment on us, and we were more like a virus, so they trapped us here.
Well, I think AI is certainly going to treat us as a virus, so we should get used to that.
Again, golden era before it becomes horrible.
Golden era.
Just
let's see how long it can last.
I hope it lasts 100 years.
Or 1,000, but yeah.
Maybe. But I'm used to the idea of we think that, I just went blank. Spock's dad's going to show up, you know, like in Star Trek and, greet us with, we're going to mentor you into this Federation of the Galaxy. I don't believe that is the most optimistic,
it's very
most
Pollyanna
view I have ever seen of the universe because I literally look at what did the conquistadors do when they went into Portugal? When the conquistadors went into like Argentina or they went into
Central America?
It was Central America. It was literally just mass destruction.
Yeah, I'll give the human race some credit. We have evolved in the state that we might actually think about being optimistically helping another alien race that we've discovered that's not.
We can't even agree to let humans live in this country. You think we're going to let non-humans interact with us?
No. Again, District 9 is more. That District 9 movie is the most realistic science fiction movie I have ever. Have you seen District 9?
I need to go rewatch it.
Gosh. It's in South Africa. It's this like broken ship. Like they've lost all their technology. And I think they're slaves to begin with. And man, they are like third rate citizens. It's unbelievable how well
that movie. Is it a show or a movie?
It's a movie, man. It's the guy who did
Alien Nation was a similar premise. They were slaves.
And it's the guy who did The Lord of the Rings, Jackson.
Yeah, Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson.
That's it.
The ending of that movie is so realistic. It's unbelievable.
Check it out.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, watch it.
Currently asking Grok where I can watch it.
District 9. Yeah. Oh, man, it's solid.
Streaming on Netflix.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm going to check it out.
But Alien Space Hunter has got to be a video game somewhere.
Grok 4 can make it for you.
Well,
have you seen they're making Grok video 4. Games with Grok 4?
Okay, I'm using Grok.com. Do I have to upgrade to $30 to get Grok 4?
No, you just select on the drop down. You want to go from Grok 3 Fast to Grok 4 Expert.
Okay, we when you talk need about it. Grok 4 is available, people.
But toggle it and use it when you need it. All right, folks. We'll see you next time on Beyond the Blockchain.